I welcome you warmly to the land of toy cars. Hello, my name is Will, and this is Exploding Helicopter, the podcast that regrets not treating its Tonka toys more kindly. Now, when you watch an animated film aimed at young children, you expect an anodyne adventure that provides a family-friendly story where the characters perhaps learn a generic life lesson during the jeopardy-free drama. What you don't expect is a tale involving abandonment, post-traumatic stress, unchecked authoritarian rule, and militarized violence. However, that's what we got when the head honchos of the popular kids cartoon Teo the Little Bus decided to make a feature-length film. So on this show, we're reviewing 2016's The Teo Movie, Mission Ace. Joining me to review the film is a man who's definitely not suitable for children. It's the Certificate 18 stamp Nick Rehack. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thank you so much for having me again, Will.
No, it's always a pleasure to have you on, and I like to think that I'm continuing my run of getting you to review films that you probably would prefer not to have reviewed.
I mean, we're getting there, but some of it turns out really well. Like, some of it's like, man, I really need to dig deeper into this, and other ones are like, why did I do this? Why did I jokingly make a suggestion and then say yeah to an email?
Well, I wouldn't want you enjoying, you know, everything about your involvement in this podcast. So I'm glad that I can still find some films that you regret ever having seen the sight of. But as we are talking here about a animation aimed at kids or a kids cartoon, it made me wonder, you know, when you were kind of growing up, when you were a kid, were there any particular animations or cartoons that you were really into?
I mean, I was always into the classics, just Bugs Bunny. All of the Looney Tunes, and then eventually like the Animaniacs, where it kind of took that slapstick style comedy, but then kind of made it smarter and then layered as well. And they started to kind of parody and satirize a lot of different films and TVs and pop culture. And I think it was the Animaniacs that really got me more and more into film, because I'm seeing them do this stuff and my parents are laughing. It's like, why are my parents laughing? And then as I've gotten older, I'll see something and go, oh, wait, Animaniacs. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what they were kind of parodying or making fun of, or little winks and nods and stuff. So really, it was just all of that stuff that was like the slapstick humor is for the kids, but that other humor is for the adults. That stuff I've always appreciated.
You'll have to explain the Animaniacs to me, because I've never heard of that.
What?
Well. I haven't.
What? I'm so blown away that you don't know the Animaniacs. So Animaniacs was a kid's show, and it was about the Warner Brothers and their sister Dot. So Yakko, Wakko, and then Dot. And every episode was kind of like an anthology. So you'd have the three characters. They're getting into some type of conundrum. Meanwhile, they would cut to like other bits and other like little characters. So it was almost kind of like a variety show, but there was like this weird arc that went through it. There was always these little bitty side bits that they'd go to. So they had, I think, like it was a Lassie-esque type, where it was a boy and a dog, and the dog was always getting, or the kid was always getting into these outlandish, could easily have died, and then the dog like tries to save the kid, but then the dog gets in trouble. There was Slappy Squirrel. It was like an old lady squirrel who – it was like a borderline like Sylvester Tweety kind of thing. But she was also like just super aggressive in like a weird way. There was, I think, Godfeathers or God Pigeon. It was like a couple pigeons, but it was all like Goodfellas based. So one was like the De Niro character. One was the Pesci character. One was the Leota character. Chicken Boo, he was just this big chicken, and he was always getting into all kinds of shenanigans and things. Pinky and the Brain. Pinky was this like just daft, you know, eccentric person, and then Brain was very much a Orson Welles type, and they were always trying to figure out plans how to take over the world, but they were lab mice, so they always had to figure out how to get out of their little lab cage. Like, it's just just Google a couple things and watch it. One of them, it was also like weirdly educational at the same time. Yakko had Countries of the World, and he would sing, he literally sung all of the countries, and I'm trying to think of what song he sung it to, but it was, I don't know. It's do yourself a favor and just Google a bunch of it, because it's really, really fun. Steven Spielberg was behind it too.
Okay.
Like his production emblem.
Oh, yeah. I'll have to go and, as you say, I'll have to go and look up a couple of episodes. And from what you were saying, I can see the nods towards classic cinema of different vintages in there. So
exactly. Yeah. It sounds like I have a fever dream right now with everything. And then there's a boy and a dog and a squirrel.
Okay, well, that'll give me something to do after this show. But I think it's time we got stuck into the Teo movie Mission Ace. The trailer for this is unsuitable for my needs, so here's a little clip from the film instead.
Thank you so much for coming with me today to get maintenance supplies.
I'm always happy to help.
Oh, isn't
Where
that Dory?
Be?
Hey, Dory, why are you crying?
Tayo, my Ace has gone missing.
Ace?
Ace is Dory's toy car.
It's his most favorite toy.
Oh. Hey, Dory, try and think real hard. Do you remember where you had it last?
I got out at the stop end. Mm-hmm. Then I'm sure I put Ace inside my backpack.
It might have just fell out of your bag. La la la. Oh, la la la. Hello, Tayo.
Oh, hey, Robbie. Hold on a sec.
Why?
Did you by chance see a toy car around here while you were cleaning?
It's a cool red sports car that has a star-shaped sticker on it.
Oh, yeah. Of course I saw it.
Really?
Well, that's a relief. Actually, I just came from throwing it away at the garbage dump.
You what?
I had to. It was just laying there on the side of the road.
Come on, let's hurry!
Hey, what's the big deal?
Now, I should provide a little context here. Teo the Little Bus is a South Korean computer animated television series aimed at 4 to 7 year olds. It began airing in South Korea in 2010, and an English dub version has since been exported around the world. The series is about four buses in a city populated with anthropomorphic vehicles, including Teo the Little Bus. Following the success of the TV series, a tie-in film was produced, the one we are reviewing today, and that is the first of four feature-length animations there have been as part of this series and franchise. The story here sees a young boy called Dury. He drops his toy car Ace on the street at the bus stop. After losing his toy, Dury becomes upset and talks to Teo about where it might have gone. Dury learns that Ruby, an anthropomorphic cleaning truck, swept up Dury's toy car and took it to the junkyard. Teo, Dury join up with Hannah, a kindly mechanic who looks after the buses, go to investigate. At the junkyard, the trio discover a portal to Toy Town, a place where toys abandoned by humans live free from the passing whims of children. Will Teo be reunited with his beloved toy car Ace? And will our gang be able to return to the real world from Toy Town? Normally I'd tell you about the people involved in the making of this film, but my lack of familiarity with Korean television prevents me giving you any useful context here. The Teo movie has a 4.8 rating on IMDb, and aside from that, there's not a lot else out there to tell you about this. So, Nick, what did you make of the Teo movie Mission Ace?
It's a little terrifying, to be honest with you. The animation style, I mean, maybe it's just me, very off-putting, just very plasticky, very like dead behind the eyes. It's really weird because you're supposed to care for these characters and be concerned about everything that's going on, but I just feel like there's no emotion. It's just very surface level. It's, hey, you know, we need to go do this thing. And I don't know, like, it's not even, I don't want to say creative. It obviously is very creative. They find a portal, they go into this toy world, and, you know, there's an adventure and they have to save. But it just becomes an amalgamation of all these different things at once, and then none of it starts to work. Like, you have these really sad flashbacks. You have these weird intercuts that are like kind of daydream type things. You have some attempts at the humor, but then a lot of it just doesn't make sense. I think that 4 to 7 age range doesn't help it either, because, like, I mean, I'm sure we'll touch on it, but, like, there's a talent show, And how the talent show progresses is very weird. And then, of course, towards the back end of the film, when we start to get into some of the more violent aspects, which was like really bizarre. It's just across the board. It's just it's weird. And I think, I don't know, they should have just really taken a step back and gone, all right, who's it for? And let's make sure it's age appropriate, because kind of wasn't like at all, even for 4 to 7 and nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what a 4 to 7 year old likes to watch, and I certainly don't know what is suitable for a child that age. I'm not a parent, so I certainly don't watch a lot of animations, and I certainly don't watch a lot of television aimed at that audience group. So I'm perhaps not the best judge of whether the content here is going to work for kids that age. Coming to this as somebody significantly outside of the sort of target age range, I did find this quite a hard material to engage in. And certainly, as you know, we're going to be talking about some of the aspects of the story here, even for somebody like myself, not a parent, I was like wondering, is this really sort of what kids like? Is this really suitable for kids? And certainly if you go and look online, there do seem to be a lot of reactions from parents who seem to be quite shocked by the content that they're served up here. Because I did watch an episode of Teo the Little Bus, the series that spawned this particular film, and the content of that was incredibly anodyne. So in the episode I watched, there's a young kid who's been a bit naughty because they've neglected to do their homework and got to be handed in at school. So one of the talking buses helps the kid complete their homework. So, I mean, it's a pretty low stakes drama. There's certainly no violence in there. So this seemed to be quite out of keeping, I think, with the, well, with the one episode of this cartoon series I've watched. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, did it have machine guns? Did it have missiles? Did it have, you know, all these different, like you said, totalitarian governments and militarism? Like, it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. And then, like, they're in a toy world, but they're, like, they're people in a toy world. And then, like, the bus gets, and then the side proportions. There's a lot of questions I have that clearly are not going to get answered here. But there's just a lot that just doesn't make sense to me. It's just, I don't know. It sounds like they had a lot of ideas and they just threw it together and they're like, all right, well, let's just make it by a certain time and then done with it. But some of it, like, you'd think you'd see this more of like, what was that Seth Rogen one they did? Like Sausage Party, where they did the animator like that. Like, to me, this feels more in line with that, especially when you get to, like I said, at the end with like these machine guns and missile launchers. And here we are using words, machine guns, missile launchers, you know, totalitarianism. And we're talking about cars and buses that talk to people.
Well,
like, why?
Yeah. Ugh. Well, let's talk a little bit about the violence that we get in this particular film. So as I mentioned, this is a series aimed at pretty young children. And certainly if you look at the reviews online, there are a lot of comments from people who've watched this with their kids who say, this is not what I was expecting from a movie about Teo the Little Bus. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about some of the cartoons that I watched as a kid. You know, things like, you know, Tom and Jerry. You know, I was watching that, as you mentioned, like Bugs Bunny. You know, in something like Tom and Jerry, there was a lot of violence in that. Now, you know, with them setting traps for each other, you know, whacking each other with, I don't know, frying pans or whatever it was that was around them at the time in the scenario that was taking place in that particular episode. So, you know, it made me start second guessing whether the violence here is really, I don't know, out of keeping with perhaps the violence that we've seen in, you know, cartoons aimed at young kids in the past.
I think it is, because there's no real world stakes in the like Looney Tunes type stuff. Like if Tom and Jerry, if Tom's hitting Jerry with a frying pan, all of a sudden Jerry's face is going to be in the shape of a frying pan. Right. So we know that, OK, it's goofy. No one's getting hurt. If we're watching Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, if Wile E. Coyote makes that wrong step and falls all the way down that canyon, when he hits, it's just going to be this big dust cloud, or a dust cloud in the shape of him. Or he's going to hold up a sign that says, ow. A little bit later, we see him all bandaged up. So we know that there's no, you know, stakes and stuff. Later on, when we're getting missile shot at all of these cars, they're just laying there.
They're dead.
Like, these car bodies are laying there. Like, there's these weird explosions, like fiery explosions, which is really weird because, again, if you see explosions, it's like cartoonish. It's in their face. It's someone's holding their finger in a gun. They fire the gun, and the explosion backfires, and their face is all blown out in a weird proportion. You know what I mean? There's not just, like you said, car bodies laying there. It's not like they're sitting there, like, holding their tire, like, ouch, ow. You know, they're not saying anything. They're just, like, dead. And then one of them has, like, a weird slow death. I think the green one, he's just like, oh, and he just kind of falls out. And then the bodies, they're like, yay, we did it. Car bodies everywhere. They're smiling about it. Like...
Well, it's not just the violence that makes this particular animation quite an odd watch, because there are also some dark themes amongst the plot, which we've sort of alluded to already. So the idea at the heart of this particular story is that Toyland is this refuge for toys who have been abandoned by humans. Ace, who's this lost car, ends up being imprisoned by the Queen of Toyland because Ace wants to be reunited with his human owner, Dury. And then in a story twist, we learn that the Queen of Toyland was the childhood toy of Hannah, who's this mechanic that's accompanied Dury on this adventure. And it was the experience of being abandoned by Hannah that is fueling her anger now to run Toyland as this refuge, which is fueling her anti-human hatred. And I was kind of quite unprepared for the amount of dark psychological aspects to the story here.
Yeah, especially when it takes, spoiler alerts, the car gets struck in the face and there's a car inside of that car. And it's this little car that's got like just a little scratch on its face. And instead it kind of dresses itself up to be like this big, like, you know, sprawling town car Cadillac with the gold and everything like that. But it's just such a bizarre twist, especially when it goes from like, hey, I'm this little car, and now it's morphed to it's bipedal. It's got legs. It's got machine gun arms. It's got rocket launchers sticking out. And the other thing is, too, who are these people? You got this little boy and then this random mechanic woman who's like, yeah, I'll help you out. And they're running around and I don't like all the dynamics just feel so weird. And again, those little flashbacks, those always feel the weirdest, too. And like, let me come back to when I was a little girl and I was just so devastated because like you were my best friend. And then they really lay it on thick. They're like, you're my best friend. Like, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And it's a toy car. Like,
yeah,
I've had a lot of favorite toys growing up. Don't get me wrong, but I've never been so enamored to the point where I'm like, I can't go on living without this toy.
Yeah, because like, she was saying that she couldn't accept any other toy as a child because she'd lost the one that she really cared about.
Yeah, like no, get out of here. That's completely absurd.
And then in amongst sort of this very dark psychological material, we then have some that's juxtaposed with content which I much more expected to see in an animation aimed at this type of young audience. So part of their plan to rescue Ace from the prison where this car's been locked up, our sort of heroes infiltrate a talent contest because that will get them inside the Queen's palace. And we get to see a variety of musical numbers that are performed by different groups of toy cars. So in amongst all this, we get to see, did you enjoy the breakdancing turtles?
No.
I thought you would.
Typically I am that kind of guy, but I something about it this time. I think it's their little faces. I don't like how their faces look. I didn't much care for the music that they were like, I don't know, didn't do it for me. I think, you know what it was? It was such a juxtaposition from these little car ducks that come out and they're just blowing bubbles and they're singing row, row, row your boat, but in quack form. And all of a sudden we're like, okay, the old turtles. And then they're doing like this real fast paced drum and bass, like little routine. And then it comes out with our heroes and they're singing like, hey, you guys are so special. And it's like, what? And then they're supposed to be clapping along with what?
Yeah, I mean, the music in and the music and songs in this scene were pretty
terrible,
pretty horrific. Did you stick around for the end credits and listen to like the Teo Bus song that plays over the end credits of this film?
I heard the first couple words of it, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it was an absolute sonic atrocity, which I couldn't get through. I watched this twice. I couldn't get through it on my on my first viewing, but on the second time round, I, you know, for the sake of being a, you know, a thorough reviewer, I slogged my way through to the end of it, and it was bitterly painful experience trying to get to the end of that.
It's just, and I think it's just a lot of the voices too. Like if it was a little more appealing to the ear. Yeah, all right, I'll hang around for it. But if it's just kind of that shrill, or like the ducks, as weird as the duck thing is, they're harmonizing, they're singing in a round, which is impressive, I think, for a kid's movie like this. But
yeah,
I don't know, just
darting back to the violence that we get in this film. I mean, did you think that the Queen looked like Ed 209 out of RoboCop?
Wow. You know what? Now that you say that, absolutely. Wow, absolutely. Or even maybe a touch of Ripley in Aliens 2.
Yes.
Just from like the way the machine would walk and kind of even just like overall design. So I think between the two of them combined, yeah, I'd absolutely get that vibe.
Now, I mean, one thing I wanted to ask you about was what on earth, let's assume there was one. What on earth do you think the message behind this particular film was?
That's the thing. I watched it the first time, and then I watched it the second time to look specifically for the message. And the only thing I can think of is just take better care of your stuff.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I came up against, because when the Queen is giving her speech for the talent show, she's like, you know, you guys have been cast aside and run into walls and no one cares about you. And the whole thing starts when the little boy puts the car in his backpack, doesn't zip it properly, and then the car's gone. And at the very end of the film, when he goes to play ball with his weirdo friends, he stops, zips open the backpack fully, puts the car inside, and then zips it up. So that's really the only thing I can take away is just take better care of your stuff. Like, That's all I was left with.
I mean, I kind of, you know, when you watch this type of stuff, you expect there to be some sort of message as part of the content.
Yeah.
And if there was one, that was the only one. I mean, do you think this would, you know, do you think this would give kids nightmares after watching this?
Yes, absolutely it would, especially when you have like a borderline Tiananmen Square type thing where they're standing in the square. You've got RoboCar getting ready to blast the little red car away, and the boy is just standing there, arms out in front of her, like, don't do this, he's my friend. And it's like,
Tiananmen Square in Toyland, I love it.
And even, like, the little red car behind him is shaking. Like, he's shaking, he can hardly open one eye, and he's shaking, like, what is happening right now? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it is a very... It's a film that sort of starts kind of in territory. I kind of felt like I knew where it was going, and then yeah, it spins off into some very dark directions, which I totally wasn't expecting. But I think that probably leads us into a part of the film that we are obviously required to talk about on each and every episode of the Exploding Helicopter podcast. So when we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be looking at the exploding helicopter action in this surprisingly violent children's animation.
After the apocalypse, when laws have no meaning and peace is impossible, one woman struggles to save her village while the two men she trusts fight to win her love.
To the death!
Now, as the conflict rages out of control, the only chance for civilization lies in the hands of the courageous.
Yeah!
combination of Mad Max, Death Race 2000, and Blade Runner, Brigitte Stenberg, Rick Dean, and Richard Norton in Raiders of the Sun.
We're back, and now we're looking at the exploding helicopter action. This occurs towards the end of the film. The Queen of Toyland is trying to stop our heroes escaping back to the real world. She orders her army of weapon-carrying 4x4s and some attack helicopters to search and destroy our heroes. Fortunately, Ace has been reunited with his special transforming button, which allows him to change into a heavily armoured, missile-carrying vehicle. Now, in weaponized form, Ace fires a volley of missiles at the helicopters, which then crash and then explode. Nick, what did you make of the exploding helicopter action?
I thought it was... So I was equal parts disturbed, but I also wanted more at the same time. When they launch off the missiles... They, like little Nerf type missiles, they go bouncing around on the helicopters. The helicopters kind of spin to a whirly bird thing and then come crashing down. And I wanted a little bit more out of that because it happened so quick. But at the same time, like, why are there explosions? Why do these little missiles have, you know, rocket or jet propelled behind it? Why does there need to be an explosion altogether? Like, I don't understand that. They got little faces. And they just – all of a sudden they're just gone. And that's the other weird thing too is there's just like bodies left around throughout this thing. And I'm genuinely surprised we didn't circle around to look at the helicopter bodies because there's bodies of everything else. Like it's just so weird. It's so weird.
Well, there are five helicopters in this particular scene. They kind of look like those Apache AH-64 type helicopters. Obviously, they're not sort of perfect replicas of that, but there are five of them, and we see them hit by rockets, and we see sort of little explosions on the helicopters, but the fuselages of the helicopters all then drop down behind some buildings. But we then see like a fireball come up into the sky, sort of above the buildings that are obscuring the wreckage, and that really sort of put a question mark in my mind. Like, obviously, at least one of the helicopters has exploded, but how many of those five do you think that we can, you know, safely assume have exploded?
I think they're all dead. I think they all exploded at once, or as the other explosions were going off, the film continued to this weird shootout, drifting, Fast and Furious type scene. Like, I don't know. And you know what else is interesting, too, is it tells you or it shows you that, you know, these are truly, quote unquote, bad guy helicopters because they're all decked out in camo. Right. All the good guy characters are all these bright colors. And you have these helicopters that are like, you know, green camo with a little like missile launchers underneath. Then even like the bad guy cars are like kind of a sand desert, real muted and darker colors and tones and everything. I thought that was pretty interesting, too. So maybe when they blended in with their surroundings, they just kept blowing up.
Well, it's quite an important question because if we're going to say that this had five, then that puts it, you know, towards the top tier of on-screen exploding helicopter sequences.
It at least has three because when the five get hit, three of them immediately drop. And as they drop, there's an explosion, but we don't see the other two drop.
Mm.
So we can definitely say there's three. I'm comfortable saying three. The other ones, we don't actually see them blow up or where they land. So it could be that they got away. And now they have to tell their other helicopter friends, like, look, guys, we can't change the colors.
I think
right
they're
now.
Dead. We're but I think it's whether they crashed but didn't explode. I think that's the question mark that's in my mind. But if we're going to settle on three, I feel comfortable with that as an assumption, as a number, because – you know, that's a good number of exploding helicopters in a film, but it doesn't, you know, it would be, you know, I would be spending more time on this, I think, if this was going to be a record breaking exploding helicopter scene. But I think if we stick with three, that puts in, I think, I'm comfortable with that as a number.
Yeah. I mean, even then, too, that's still really high for an animated film.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, I haven't seen every animated film that includes an exploding helicopter, but I can't think of any off the top of my head that has more than one.
So usually it's like one big like focal point centerpiece is that one big explosion of characters doing like a backflip or something like that. Like that's the really only thing I was missing was this little red car to be doing a backflip when he's getting shot up.
Okay, I think that just about wraps things up for this show. Nick, have you got anything you want to plug before I pull the plug on you?
Just Rehack Radio over at mixcloud.com.
Go and check it out.
As always, nice and short this time.
Shut up, Nick. As always, don't forget to check out the Exploding Helicopter website for more reviews and information about films where helicopters explode. I'll now make my usual forlorn request that you help spread the word about what we do. We'll be back soon, but until then, keep watching the skies for those exploding helicopters.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAMB Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
It's me, Hannah! Your friend, Hannah!
My friend, Hannah?
Huh? So then, Bella, the toy car you told us about is the queen? That's right. Do you remember me?
How could I forget the one that abandoned me?
Bella, what are you talking about?
I have relived that moment every single day. You were dazzled by some flashy car passing by. And when I got scratched, you threw me aside without a second thought. From that moment on, I lived every day full of hatred for you!